You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hope you're having all kinds of fun. We are here as the Browns are, I don't know, about a football field's length away from Matt Wilhelm and yours truly on the practice field. Getting ready for J.J. Watt coming in. Just don't let Watt start making game-changing plays, getting all havoc-stricken.
That's right.
Football field at First Energy. I mean, and listen, he does it to everybody. So you're going to have multiple help, I think, on J.J. Watt. I don't know any one right tackle that's handled him in the National Football League yet in the last couple of years. And so we'll see where that goes with the Browns. But, again, great to have all of you along. Coming up in a moment, our five-point stance segment. It's new. It's going to be exciting, we hope. But, first of all, love having you guys ready to chime in at 216-578-0850. Let's stay right here in the big league Browns winning city of Cleveland. And here's James. Welcome to the show, James. How are you? James, you there? I hear James with all his sound effects going on. James, give you one more second. You there? All right, he's gone. All right, let's swing into Newark, New Jersey. A lot of Browns backers in the tri-state area. Here's Tyler on Cleveland Browns Daily. What's going on, Tyler?
How you doing?
How are you, man?
I'm doing all right, hanging in, fixing threes. You know, kind of hard to be down.
That's right.
Yep. Reading about the Ben Tate stuff going on right now, and you know, I played Division II football, and I also played in high school, and I know that's not nearly same size, but I never wanted to hear anybody complain about getting the ball, and to me that just sounds like a cancer in the making, and it isn't the first time he made any of those comments like that before that were on the, edge of being competitor and being a good teammate.
I agree with your take, and I think I alluded to that a little bit earlier, and I just think that, the getting is really good around here, and you want to be, and he's a part of something extremely special. But also, too, is, and again, I didn't want to, essentially you and I are a part of the media as well. And I wanted to make that comment to Scott because I didn't know if he was guilty as charged. But it's, sometimes the media, it's like when they want to get something out, these players, they're only human. You can only badger them so much or ask them the same question, five different ways to get the answer because they have to write their story. That's their career, too. But they got what they wanted. But I still believe what he should say is, hey, we're 6-3. I'm going to do my part. And I know that my number will get called. And when it does, I will make that play.
Yeah. I didn't take quite as much exception to it from any different angle. I understand, of course, if
absolutely.
You're looking at it.
I do too.
From that standpoint. But I understand Ben Tate. And I got to be honest with you guys. I wouldn't want running back in the NFL. With the short shelf life that this position maintains, I wouldn't want my running back that. And again, he was signed, and I know you got to produce. Absolutely, you have to produce. But that's why he was brought here. Because, as I've said a few times before, Matt. Again, this guy's got a 4-year resume that says he averages 4.5 yards every time he's touched the ball. And and that is that's where you want to be. That's good.
Exactly.
That's good. So I get it. I understand it, and I don't have a problem with it because I want my running back to have an edge about him.
Sure.
And now there are multiple running backs, and again, these two kids have shown that they deserve to be in the mix. That's something that, it's like the old saying, he's running up the score, this, that, or whatever. Now let's stop him then. You know what? If you want the football more, Ben, we've evidently, and they're rooks, they're 21, 22 years old, but Matt, wouldn't it be fair to say, just given what we've seen transpire, that we've seen Terrence West pout this year?
Yes.
We've seen Isaiah Crowell pout this year.
Yes.
And start to have to figure out, look, fellas, there's three times we're on the practice field all week long, that you guys, everybody's got to show that you're professional and that you warrant this. It's not entitled, it's earned.
There's no question. I think, and lastly, is I always talk about communication between coach and player, and Coach Pettine does an amazing job. And I think what needs to happen, if it hasn't already, is have that conversation and say, this is your role, and define it for these guys. So each and every week they're not sold on something and then left questioning what's going to happen actually on Sunday.
Yeah.
It may be happening, it may not, but as we talked about with Scott Petrak, what they do on the practice field does so much more than anything you can say.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, we got to get to 5-point stance before we get out of here today. Again, this is the concoction of our our coordinating producer, Cleveland Browns Daily, Mr. Jason Gibbs. 5 biggest takeaways from this past weekend's NFL games. Matt Wilhelm, 57, you're on. Go. What do you have?
You got it. My first takeaway from this weekend, and it's been a takeaway of the last few weeks, is these Thursday night football games. They're not going, I'm sure, as planned for the NFL, and I'm sure some of their ratings are down. Yes, we came out on the high road, the Cleveland Browns did, with a 24-3 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals, but they're not that competitive. We've seen blowout after blowout, what seems like almost on every primetime game, and I think that a lot of the reason is because you're asking teams at this point in the season, they're beat up, they're badgered, they're injured, guys are hurt, and we're not seeing the NFL product showcasing their top talent in these primetime opportunities. So you're asking a football team with playoffs at stake, both like Cincinnati and Cleveland had, going into these short weeks with short preparation with only a portion of their roster. So that is something to be considered, and I think more so than ever, again, it's not just happening on Thursdays, but it's happening, it seems like, in a lot of the primetime games.
Viable, to be sure. Completely understood. I'm going to go to some individuals.
Go ahead.
Guys that I think that, wow, for me, with an exclamation point from this past weekend. Matthew Stafford,
yes,
quarterback of the Detroit Lions.
He can sling it.
Led his the man can spin it. You're right. His third consecutive fourth quarter final drive comeback, rolled to his left on a third down and 10 with his team trailing by 4, and or rather down by 3, and gunned a sidearm ad-lib 20-yard. Dilfer would be calling it one of his Dilfer dimes. Strike to Riddick for the touchdown. I think Stafford might be on the cusp of starting to get up into – got a win, I get it, but it's seeming like now in his fifth year in the NFL, he's on the cusp. He might be breaking into that elite group in
the next
couple
years. You're
right,
and win in January, too.
Yeah, well,
he's gotta do that. Exactly.
You're right.
My third stance that I'm going to take right now, and it's the luck of the draw, folks, when it comes to the Cleveland Browns schedule, is I believe Carolina Panthers are not that good of a football team. They've been injury-plagued all year. Ron Rivera, if we recall, his job was at stake after an 0-3 start last year. They, of course, recovered, went to the playoffs, didn't make any headway in the playoffs, but they are struggling again, and I believe the Atlanta Falcons, a team that beat a bad Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, is not that good. After our experience as the Cleveland Browns winning road games, multiple road games, and most recently at Cincinnati, a place that we hadn't won in a very long time, I look for those two now, where Carolina might have been a question mark, and Atlanta is a tough place to play down in the ATL inside the dome. Those, to me, of our remaining schedules, are two victories for the Cleveland Browns.
I like how you tied that together at Atlanta and at Carolina. All right, our fourth of our 5-point stance today, Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles.
I've seen it firsthand. He's a baller.
Matt, I mean, this guy, is he not – you? I don't think you could carve out or craft out or cultivate a better return man in the National Football League than Darren Sproles. He's absolutely amazing. Now he's a Philadelphia Eagle. Did it again the other night. I mean, just – I think he's going to go down, if this keeps up, as one of the finest return men the game has ever seen.
I agree. And the fifth point, just because we promised you 5, is the Super Bowl winner will come from the AFC. That is my fifth point. They are better collectively. They are more competitive. Super Bowl winner from the AFC.
All right. I got you down. We're going to put Wilhelm down. Super Bowl AFC on November the 12th from Matt Wilhelm. Great job today, man.
You got it, brother.
We'll do it again tomorrow. I'll be in again tomorrow. Nathan Zagura will join us in the 2 o'clock hour tomorrow. So make sure you're locked in and joined us as well. We appreciate the help from Emmett Golden, our producer, of course, as we mentioned, our coordinating producer, Jason Gibbs. Always like when Scott Petrak drops by. So for Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and all that have made Cleveland Browns Daily a huge success on this Wednesday, let's do it again tomorrow. We'll see you at 1 o'clock, everybody. Stay tuned for Golden and Goldhammer, the Golden Boys, coming up next right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Michael Regge, everybody. Browns are looking to go 7-3, getting ready for Houston coming up on Sunday. We'll see you again tomorrow right back here at 1 o'clock in Berea. Till then, so long, Browns Nation.
Go Browns!